Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study taught by Brother John Albaugh titled, Revival Desires, Where's the Fire? This is part two of two.
Matthew 22:29 and Mark 2:10, the power to forgive. It said the power to forgive was there. He had the power to forgive and the power to heal. Fascinating. That's how we preach, with power. And guys, we have power. We have the power of the Lord. Okay. This is a fascinating part here. Wherever you preach the Word of God, three groups of people always show up. Now, remember in Luke 8:11, it says the seed is the Word of God. And what's Jesus doing in Mark 2:2? He's preaching the Word of God, that seed. He's got a room packed with people. Anytime you take the gospel anywhere, there are three groups of people you're going to come across. You got the parable of the sower. The wayside comes out to be egotism. All right? Pride. Everyone, before you and I ever got saved, we fell in one of those three categories, if not all three of them. Pride. The stony heart is hedonism, pleasure, which is what the Sadducees were connected in. And then thorny was the legalism, perfection. That's what the scribes were into. I've got a study on that. I don't know if it's have it on the next page. But you say, well, John, when you do the parable of the sower, there's a fourth heart. Okay? The fourth heart comes out of this group here. When they hear the word of God and repent, then they become the repentant heart, where the seed comes in and bears fruit. All right? But every person you meet, it doesn't matter if you're in China, it doesn't matter if you're in Russia, Washington, D.C., that's the three groups you're always going to run into. And those were the three groups Christ was aiming at. It's more than just a parable. I will tell you this on the authority, where I got that from. Yeah, I was doing some studies for our kids in Sunday school, and someone looked up, what does Sinai mean? That's where the Ten Commandments were given. Well, Sinai means thorns, thorn bush. Duh, how about that? That has to be connected with legalism. Fascinating. When you're in faith, it's not legalism, but when you're out of God, it becomes legalism. And that's how they look at it. Okay, just some resources. Okay, on my personal website, needhope.org/IS, I call the water set of evangelism. The notes on that are incredible. Sin, guys, is not connected in parallel. You don't say, well, I'll pick this sin today and I'll pick this one over here. Once you commit this sin, it leads to this sin, then it leads to this one, and it leads to this one. It gets worse and worse and worse. It just goes right up the line. And if there's no part of repentance at that line, then you perish and end up in hell. There's got to be a point when the Word of God comes in and changes you. The first step in obeying Christ's Great Commission. Then I've got a place called Revival Messages. I think there are six messages there. But this one is a good one. The Unheeded Warnings of Christ is where you'll see the four seeds in there. And what's the unheeded warning? I'm pretty sure it's somewhere in Matthew 21. It might be verse 43, but you have to check that out. And Christ says to the nation of Israel, because you rejected the kingdom of God, I'm going to take it away from you, and I'm going to give it to another nation who's going to bear fruit. The first time I read that, I was chilled. He said, I'm going to take the gospel away from Israel. Look at Israel, guys, for 2,000 years, no gospel. Where'd it go to? It went to Syria. And then it went to Antioch there, and you know the rest of the story from there, to bear fruit. And of course, to reach your new neighborhood with the gospel. Number two, reviving through faith. Now here's the fascinating part. On part one, he's preaching the word. He's preaching faith. All right? So what's reviving? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, whatever Christ was preaching, and whatever he was preaching anywhere else, he was preaching faith. having faith in God, having faith in the Word of God. He was preaching that to them. Now, we have four guys in this Born of Four, and I put the word divine witness in there because Pastor Miller, several weeks ago, did a message on the number four, and it was excellent. It was superb. And I know that because if I would have taught it, I would have left out that last part because I had studied that far. All right? But now it's mine. I'm hogging it, okay? Good, excellent stuff. I've always known the witness to be two, and that's proven in Scripture. But here, born of four. There are four things. We could call this the four horsemen of faith if you wanted to. Number one, you got to have faith in God's Word. Got to have it. Without this book, guys, you don't have any faith. You got to have faith in God's Word. Number two, you got to have faith in God's blood. That's in Romans 3:25. Faith in the blood. And of course, we said before, MacArthur has taken the blood, thrown it out, and everyone's got his commentaries, and apparently they don't read about that. That's heresy. Without the blood of Christ, your sins are never forgiven. You say, well, I've got the Bible. Yeah, but you don't have the blood. You're not going to heaven. It's the blood, guys. The blood is the payment for our sins. Here's the next two. Faith in God's resurrection. That's how I got saved. I believe that Christ's blood was shed on that cross for my sins. That's the payment for my sins. And I believe that He rose again the third day. That's my salvation, guys. I'm not going to lose it because it's in His hands. Now, you may have faith in the book and faith in the blood, but if you don't believe that He rose again the third day, you don't have salvation. It's not there. And of course, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's take a quick look at Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3. Book of Hebrews. One, two, and three. Starting with verse one. Wherefore, seeing we also were compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Witnesses, guys, what they're doing, bringing people to Christ. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The Lord Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Let's spend more time with him. He talks with us, he guides us, he'll lead us along. If he gives you some inspiration on how to win someone to Christ, run for it. In the different churches I've been at, we had a great bus ministry going at the Columbus Baptist Temple, and they destroyed it. We had over 140 saved in within a 10-week period. Had over 40 baptized. And the church says, well, we don't want that type of people in our church. And they totally dismantled it. And when they dismantled it, they have never climbed back in the last 35 years. They have never climbed back up to where they were before. Not one time. They are way below. They're almost half of what they used to be when I was first there back in 85. They have not climbed up, guys. You can't destroy the work of God. When God's working, work with them. And it's not based on color. Every soul is precious before the Lord. Every single soul. Go ye into all the world. All. God has commanded all men to repent. All men. It doesn't matter, guys. All men. We can't leave, it includes Muslims. We can't leave them out. He's asked all. There's another church where I designed a little small puppet ministry that could be in anybody's living room, or you could do it outside. So I shared with them the concept. I had it all designed. I showed them the concept. A week later, I came back and said, well, what do you think? I got yelled at. That's not enough time. Nothing ever happened, guys. I don't know how many people could have reached. That church is no longer where it's at today, where it could have been. You can't attack the Word of God. I suggested one time to put the gospel in the back of flyers, because I've seen that work. Oh, no, we don't want to send people to hell. What was that again? Putting the gospel on the back of flyers. I've seen God work miracles doing that. All right, that's why I pass out tracts. I can't tell you enough times where the church keeps stopping the work because they want it to be funneled through somebody else. They want the higher class people. I was told at this one church when we went looking for kids for the buses, he said, John, look in the yard. If they have two or more kids and if they're making $45,000 a year, that's the group we want. Huh? What was that? We were told that. Now, guys, I was probably making only $10,000 at that time. So, for me, and guys, I've never made $45,000 a year at all. Never. And so, right there's what they want to do? You can't do that with the gospel. I was told by one guy, knock on the door, if the person is black, say hi, have a good day, and walk on. Yeah! I kid you not. I said, well, I'm done with that group. So, guys, the gospel's for everybody. Amen. And it don't matter what color of skin. They have a soul. Amen. And what this is, run the race. When you go to Ephesians 5, we walk with the Lord. But when it comes to sinners that are perishing, we're running a race because they may not have long time to live. You don't know what's going to happen to them. Okay, revived by mercy. This guy has dropped down through the ceiling. And what does Christ say? Thy sins be forgiven thee. How about that? Our key verse here is John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's the gospel working out. Amen. Flow. I can't tell you how many people I've been in the presence of that I had high respect for, and they had a dam around them. No water for me. No sharing the gospel. Four things we get out of the four horsemen. Discernment. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. And notice how it chops it down, body and soul and spirit. 3. Peace. Ephesians 4. We get the peace of God. We can now share the forgiveness of God. I know a pastor one time preached on forgiveness to his congregation. And he said it was like a cold wind swept over the congregation. There are so many people they did not want to forgive. Guys, we're in the forgiveness business. Amen. Christ forgave my sins. I've got to forgive yours. Amen. We're in the forgiveness business. If we want the peace of God, there's got to be peace. Love, which the King James translated put charity. I like that. All right? Charity is going to flow out. You don't know how many people you can win with charity. Fascinating. And the joy. Patience. We trust the Lord, He's going to provide the joy for us. Okay. Rejection of sin, not truth. So we have a group. Remember, they said this in their heart. Christ was reading their heart. Why did this man speak blasphemies? Now, guys, if you and I study Scripture, I already told you, when you preach the Word of God, there's three hearts that show up every single time. Now, what's their heart? Legalism is mostly used to cover up sins with good works and reject the truth of God's Word. Just compare Scripture with Scripture. You'll see what's really in these guys' heart. And then your mouth will drop and go, oh my. Because when you meet someone like that, you're going to go, ah, that's what's happening. And you and I have to learn how to take someone with this type of heart and how to bring them to the level to receive Christ. I know we're not going to get everyone. But at least get good at it where you can at least get a couple of them. Get a couple of them at least. Go for one. Now, our lust nature rejects Jesus Christ. We have to be very careful in our own daily life we don't get caught up in lust because we'll end up rejecting Him. And before you know it, you go right down the slide. And our lust nature corrupts the Word of God. I tell you, we love BBF Ohio here. We have an authorized King James. Every word is perfect. But do you know in our corrupt lust nature we can corrupt the book too? We can reread it and pick out scriptures and come up with another type of answer. And we can balance our sin, even though we know it's the perfect Word of God. Look here. There's over 15 plus Greek manuscripts. We know this is the Word of God. The other people think whatever floats around is the Word of God. Even though they may have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they can't discern what book is God's book. Cannot discern. And that's why there cannot be a revival as long as you've got all these other crazy books floating around. They cannot be revived. They can only stay in the flesh nature. Because 20% of the scriptures they have are all perverted. And they can't tell the difference. Okay, revival of the spiritual dead. This is a quick one here. And immediately, he arose. Immediately. Now guys, when we compare the same story with Luke chapter 5, it's a little different. All right? Here, in Mark chapter 2, it says, the power to forgive. But when we get into Luke chapter 5, it says the power to heal was present. Because the room was packed full. Totally packed full. How many people in that room got healed? None. No change. They came and there was no change. No change coming back. The only person to get healed was not even in the room. They had to bring them in. Look at the faith these four guys had. They had faith. Now how about the guy on the stretcher? If we read it according to Mark chapter 2, what do we find out? They were bringing him to Jesus, not only for healing, but for forgiveness of sins. And notice, there was no healing until the sins were forgiven first. Notice in 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. If my people will humble themselves, first is humility, forgiveness of sins, and then he says, I heal the land. Forgiveness of sins, repentance has got to come first. Now, the pictures, this picture is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse 12, he arose from his bed. He's getting up. Now, when we go to verse 14, that's Matthew, Levi. What happens? He gets out of his chair to follow Christ. He rose. All right? Now we come to verse 17, when Christ says he's called not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The sinners could not repent until, what? He had to raise again from the dead. He rose from the dead later on for him. And then if you study Paul, Acts 26:16, he's riding on his horse, whatever, he gets knocked off. What happened? He rose to follow the Lord. Picture of the resurrection. Okay, note. When we live in Christ's spirit, we are free from sin and have no desire for drugs, alcohol, immorality, gambling, or nothing. When we're in His spirit. Because it's not in His spirit. The only trouble is we're not spending enough time to be in His spirit. Baptism pictures rising from the dead to live in God's presence. Guys, just before the throne of God, there's a crystal sea. And so baptism also pictures breaking that water to be in the presence of the Lord. Beautiful. So if you've been baptized once, you're going to be baptized the second time going up, okay? Going to be fun on that one. Now, when we go to Luke chapter 5 for the same story, he picks up his bed, he starts walking out of there. What's he doing? Glorifying God. Glorifying God for his great works. Now, this is the second sermon that I did outline. I mean, every paragraph in there. The life and walk of faith. And the audio was, of course, on YouTube, but the text is in thekingdomcollective.com. Guys, a great, great sermon on walking with the Lord. Once you read that, you won't ever be the same again. Colossians 2:6. Great. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And he gives you like 10 different definitions on walking. Incredible. It'll be a great boost to your spirit. Okay, what is the fire revival? Number one, we got to humble ourselves before the Lord. All right? That gets rid of the pride. If we confess our sins, whatever the list is, long or short. Number three is to be filled with the Spirit, which is the key for the fire. And we can't be filled with the Spirit if we still have sin and we don't humble ourselves. When our spirit is aligned with the Holy Spirit according to God's written word, we will bear the fruit of His word for His glory. And the fruit part is found in Colossians 1, 5, and 6. It says, the word of God, when it's in us, the word of God bears fruit. And if you want to have some more fun, there's three times in the book of Acts it says, and the word of God grew and the Word of God grew. Guys, when you and I are free from our sins following the Lord, it's the Word that grows. And when you get to Acts 19, it says the Word of God grew and prevailed. And prevailed. That is fun. All right. Walking in Him, that's Colossians 2:6. And Ephesians 5 tells us how to walk. We walk in love, we walk in light, we walk circumspectly. Circumspectly comes from the word circle. Know what's going on around you. We know a little bit what's going on in Worthington. Walk circumspectly. We know what's going on in Westerville. Guys, walk circumspectly. We know what's going on in Bexley. Walk circumspectly. Be careful. Know what's going on around you. We know what's going on in the state of Ohio. This is one of the most unusual churches where I can talk about any subject and they'll go, ah, conspiracy, conspiracy. Because you guys know what's going on. All the other churches, I got shut down so quick, I wasn't even talking about conspiracy. I just talk about the local news, what's going on. Oh, conspiracy, shut them down. We never even sat down and discussed anything. Guys, walk circumspectly. Be aware of what's going on around you. And of course, number 5 is disciple. And what we say about revival, the one guy there starts with one person, and when he gets revived, he goes for a second one. Discipleship. We disciple each other. I don't know everything about the Word of God. I don't know everything. You guys can learn things and share things with me, and I'll go, oh, yeah. Fascinating stuff. Here's the reality check. God is not interested in your past. It's covered by His blood.
Amen.
He's not interested in your future. It's sealed up in heaven. All right? But what are you trusting Him for today in your life and those around you? What are you trusting Him for? Those four guys, what'd they do? They grabbed a guy and they brought him to Christ. They trusted Christ. And so the same challenge is for you as it is for me. What do we trust the Lord for? We can help each other out. We can pray for each other. What are we trusting Him for? God's just waiting for you and I to come to Him with prayers and say, okay, wow, let's do something. The faith in this book is incredible. I like the one example in Kentucky, back when there wasn't any refrigerators. This guy had a very sore throat, and his air was being cut off. So they called in the local doctor, and the doctor came in and said, you've got to have ice. Without ice, you know, we can't stop the swelling. The nearest place to get ice was 20 miles. So you're talking about hopping on a horse or whatever it is and going 20 miles one way and 20 miles coming back. And so they prayed and asked the Lord for help. A thunderstorm came up and rained hail. God, that's the power. That's power, guys. That's healing. I like that. And there's 100 stories like that. I've got a book from 1857 called Tales of Trust. We're talking people from 1857 and back, what they trusted God for. Mm-hmm. Your mouth would drop on the testimonies of God's people in that time frame. He's no different. Okay, last slide here. How little a portion is heard of Him. That's America. God? Who's God? We don't know anything about God, guys. How little is heard of Him? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written. What's that? The book. As it is written. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The book. We started off with Christ preaching the book, and here He is, Peter. Help me. Help. Why? Because he knew Christ would help him out. And you guys have testimonies. 3 times Paul's testimony is written in the book of Acts. We use our testimony, what God's done for us, to reach other people. And we love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Amen? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your tender mercies. Thank you for letting us know we have the right book, we have the right spirit. And Lord, by your grace and mercy, we're trying to have the right heart. Help each and every one of us revive in our own spirit. And help us look for the next person, Lord, that we can help out and bring to Christ. Lord, it's our frames are dust, and without you, Lord, we can do nothing. Help us here at BBF and around the world. In Christ's name we pray for your glory. Amen.
On a hill far away, stood an old federal bank.
Perfect this song is for the message you heard today. I want to sing that third verse again. Pay attention to these last two verses as we sing. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this my world of friend to grace? Help me on to God. Sing it a cappella. I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toll, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Amen. Let's pray.